The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So what does Paul McCartney do in a concert these days? Here's an example.
Stuck inside these four walls, sent inside forever, never seeing no one nice again like you.
Great song, band on the run, goes on into other directions. But would you really go to Glastonbury next year to see Paul McCartney, who's now 78, perform that? I know, well, you're looking at me, how can I be so ageist? But there comes a time, you don't go to watch over 45 or over 55 football internationals. Should you go and watch a performer whose voice is no longer what it was in a mucky field in the middle of summer?
Who are you addressing that to, Matt?
Should there be a statute of limitations on when people are allowed to perform? That's terrible. And I mean, certainly the Glastonbury crowd isn't all people in their teens. You have, what, that's what's actually lovely about it, is you have a broad range of age groups that go to it.
Can he deliver value for money? Is his voice able for it? I mean, the last time he did Glastonbury was when?
2004.
And we're now talking about 16 years later, coming back at that advanced age. I'm sorry, maybe it does sound ageist, and I'm aware of that, but surely there comes a point at which, and this doesn't apply just to Paul McCartney, John, so many artists were just milking it for cash at later stage,
yeah,
of their career.
Yeah, because McCartney needs the cash, Matt.
Well, then why is he doing it?
Because that's what he does.
That's what he used to do.
It's what he does. Look, the voice, okay, McCartney's voice is thin now and it's reedy and he's sounding his age.
So is that what you want? If you have somebody who was as glorious in his career, not just with the Beatles, but also did fantastic work with Wings and as a solo artist, should you not remember him for that fantastic work rather than hearing him do a poor impression?
Well, but not everybody's young enough, old enough to have been, had the opportunity to see him play live before.
Well, then let him... maybe watch a video of it when he was at his peak rather than going to...
But there's something about the live experience. You can't...
I don't know, Dee. I don't know. Like, much as I hate to say it, I have to sort of agree with Matt on this one.
What?
I would love to see Led Zeppelin, but I don't want to see Led Zeppelin in 2007 when they got back together. I want to see them in 1975. I saw McCartney 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was the best concert I was ever at. He didn't leave the stage for 2.5 hours. He didn't even take as much as a sip of water. The voice in the last few years has deteriorated. We were talking about this before.
Which is natural. It's a natural aging process. I'm not giving out about it. I don't want
to go and see him now because there's no way it could be better than it was when I saw him 8 years ago. And I'd seen him, I think, in 2004 as well when he played the RDS or somewhere. And he was incredible. I think Paul's voice is just that bit too weak now for me to be able to think of anything but that when I'm listening to it.
Well, actually, let's play something from his 2018 album, Egypt Station. This is for you.
Come on, baby, now. Let me look at you. Talk about yourself. Try to tell the truth. I could stay up half the night. Trying to crack your code. I could stay up half the night. But I'd rather hit the road. Just wanna know how you feel. Wanna love that's so proud and real.
I doubt, see, yeah, you're probably going, the voice isn't that bad. It's not, because you can do multiple takes in a studio setting. And the thing that I love about McCartney's last album, and it was my pick of the week when it came out, is that he's writing now to suit his voice. His voice is that bit weaker. But it's the same with, I go and see Bob Dylan. I don't go and see Bob Dylan to hear Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits Volume 1, as it is on the record. I just go to see Bob Dylan because he's always doing something different and because he's Bob Dylan and I want to see him again. But there is a point where you sort of go, these guys just aren't cutting it anymore.
Comments from listeners coming in. I saw Paul in the RDS a few years ago. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. Played all of my favourite Beatles tunes. Class act. Another one says, saw Paul McCartney in Outside Lands in San Francisco 2015. He was brilliant. Another one says, she'll be a sing-along. Here's one having a go directly at me. Declan and Wexford says, Rush are past their prime. Would you still go and see them? No, because they have broken up, because thank they God. Say physically they can't perform along the way that they used to. No, the drummer, Neil Peart, says he can't physically do it anymore.
And the other lad has arthritis, doesn't he?
Yeah, so they've retired because their time is
done. McCartney doesn't have arthritis. I mean, who's going to tell McCartney? Who's going to tell Paul McCartney that he can't tour because he doesn't sound as good as he used to?
I do think there's something in the year as well that is probably going to attract, like across 2020, a lot of artists to do gigs, because what better year to do a retrospective gig of your entire body of work than in the year 2020?
But McCartney's been doing that for years. But aside from that, I was talking to Sarah, one of your researchers, Matt, about this. I have come to the conclusion at my advanced age that McCartney was probably the best Beatle. And I've always been a John Lennon man. And I also used to say George because I thought I was just that bit cool. But I think it's McCartney. I think if you're talking who, like pound for pound, who was the best Beatle during and after, it's Paul.
We have some interesting comments coming for listeners. I'd love to see Paul McCartney. He can still put on a show. His voice has deteriorated, I agree, but he is an original Beatle. He can still sing better than the most popular artists in this day and age. Another 80-year-old that I would love to see is Tom Jones. What a man, what a voice. I would also go and see a 90-year-old Tony Bennett. Class voice. Now, I have to say, I really enjoyed, and I know you disagree with me in this, I think, when James Corden did the thing, the sing-along thing.
Oh, I love James Corden.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watch everything he's in.
No, you don't.
I didn't watch the McCartney thing because of Corden fanboying over everything, every cultural thing.
But it was very good. He got a Grammy for that, you know, John.
Well, I don't care.
It was
what
actually
he got.
Really good. It was really enjoyable. Well, McCartney played in an old pub in Liverpool at the end, and it was that was enjoyable. Did you like that thing?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Well, can I tell you the thing about, you're talking about people going to see these legends before they die. When I went to see McCartney in the RDS, he came out and the final song he did was Yesterday. Just Paul McCartney, let's remember, one of the Beatles on stage singing his signature tune. And people around me were leaving to avoid the crowd. And those people shouldn't have been let into the gig.
Well, that's fair.
Like, the cheek of you. Like, have some respect. Here is one of the Beatles singing Yesterday live and playing just him on stage. And these morons were leaving to beat the traffic. Just, oh, never go to a gig again.
And that's the thing. I would quite happily go see Paul McCartney play next year, or possibly even in 5 or 10 years, if I hadn't, because I haven't seen him, just for the opportunity of seeing a Beatle live.
They were turning their back on McCartney singing Yesterday.
I'm going to twist this around a little bit. What does it say as well about perhaps other acts, that the organisers of Glastonbury think they have a better chance of filling the crowd with a 78-year-old legend?
They don't.
Well, the crowd is already full. It's already full.
Oh, okay.
This is the cherry on the cake. Glastonbury doesn't need to worry about ticket sales. I don't think there's ever been a year where it hasn't sold out.
But hang on, if you put on crap acts, people won't come back the following year, or will they?
But Glastonbury, like we spoke about this before, I think Glastonbury is all about the experience. It's very much like Electric Picnic is something similar. It's not just about the music at Glastonbury.
Yeah, it's
about
close
everything
to 250,000 people. It actually becomes one of the biggest towns in Great Britain while it's on.
Yeah, full of smug.
It's not just a music festival.
Says, an older artist, Robert Plant's voice has completely changed. Yeah. As it was.
But he writes to
and
suit his voice.
And so he changes the Led Zeppelin covers in order to suit it. Mm-hmm. It works really well. It makes for a great live show. And you're right, he writes stuff now according to what
but
his
you,
voice
look at
well.
Elton John, who I adore. You listen to Elton John these days, he actually sounds like he's having a hernia while he's on stage.
But he's still amazing.
But, like, he sounds terrible these days.
Fiona says, older performers are an inspiration to us all not to sit in our arses and just get old. Who cares if they're a bit weaker now? I would love to see a legend in the flesh. Another one, though.
But why? Just to see them before they die? I mean, that's...
No, but there's something about the live experience of an artist that you love, even if they're not sounding their best. It's about more than just the music. It's actually about their interaction with the crowd.
Matt, you remember, I went to see Brian Wilson last year at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, and I had to leave because he looked like he did not want to be there and he sounded terrible.
So you walked out in the Beach Boy?
I walked out, and I'd seen Brian Wilson
before. And you were so much looking forward to that gig as well.
I walked out upset that he was... He just wasn't there, and it was it was akin to a freak show, in my opinion. He shouldn't have been up there. He wasn't well. Didn't sound like he was coughing mid lyrics. Oh, I was like, I can't watch this.
And I have to say, I saw him at Primavera a few years ago, and it was a lovely experience.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, maybe people should know when to hang it up.
Okay. Another listener says Elton John, 74 years old, played for 2.5 hours in Dublin this year. Unbelievable show, voice amazing, and still
was
the same.
Was it?
I spoke to people around it, loved it, said it was a great night out. It was fantastic.
It was probably a great
fun.
Show, but like if you're going to hear Elton John sing, it probably wasn't the greatest Elton John show you've seen. And I'm not trying to be a snot, but because I love Elton John.
Look
but,
at Rod Stewart, although he always sounded a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
Another one says Fleetwood Mac during the summer, one of my more emotional gigs, seeing such icons was incredible.
It wasn't Fleetwood Mac though.
Because let's get back into that argument.
Because Lindsay Buckingham wasn't there.
Just to finish this Paul McCartney comments from listeners. I saw Paul McCartney in 2016 at a festival in Europe. I'm somebody who was incredibly indifferent about him at the time, but I was blown away by his performance. Much more than just his voice. It's not like he had the voice or known for a voice like Freddie Mercury's. Another one says, I remember the Rolling Stones in Croke Park in May 18. The only reference to their age was people saying how amazing they were.
They were incredible. But Jagger's voice hasn't deteriorated.
Another one says, there'll be so many people singing to Paul's songs, you'll barely hear him anyway, so it'll be amazing. Okay, 087-4100.
It's like going to see Mozart.
He's dead, John.
Actually, like, but you know what I mean. I'm sarky.
Okay.
You know what I mean.
Picks of the week. In case we run out of time, D-Ready, what's your pick of the week?
My pick this week is Sentinel by Jape. It's his sixth album, I believe. He's someone who's been around on the Irish music scene since the 1990s. I believe, John, you'll probably correct me if I'm wrong, he's the only person to have ever won the Choice Music Award twice.
Twice, yes.
And this is an absolutely gorgeous album from him. Very, very introspective. He calls it quite a private album. The song I've picked for you this evening is I Was Wrong. The Irish Times called it a mix between Villagers and Bon Iver, but I actually think there's a touch of Simon and Garfunkel in there as well.
I stood at the back of my childhood home, aware of the clouds as they moved overhead, forming tapestries over my bones. Now love changing is teaching me how to be. Oh boy, I was that fool out looking for fun when I should have been begging for joy. That was lying in submission and admission. I was wrong, I was wrong, I was wrong, I was wrong. Swanning around on the crest of a wave, always destined to fail, I was wrong. Mr. Love.
Stuff, Jape.
There he is now.
Speaking of Beatles, banging Norwegian Wood off that.
There is actually.
Isn't there? Yeah.
More comments coming in from listeners. Saw Elton John many times this year, was actually the best, both in terms of show and voice. Another one has Kylie is a legend and pulled the biggest Glastonbury crowd ever.
I don't think Kylie would be too happy now with being put in the same age bracket as Paul McCartney.
Don't be so ageist, Dee.
That's not being ageist.
Madonna, in my eyes, is the biggest legend of them all, still singing, dancing and reinventing herself and others as only she can.
But nobody's
saying... I saw her in Lance Arnold a few years ago. It was one of the most disappointing gigs I've ever been
but
at.
But nobody's saying it's about age. It's about quality of voice. And we've said many times before, at least I have, that I believe that the female voice does not deteriorate to the same level that the male voice does. Think about it.
Went to see Jeff Lynne twice in the last few years. He was spectacular. And tell me the boss is too old. Well, the boss has just turned 70. His performances are extraordinary in how he manages to belt it out at his almost advanced age. I have to be
very careful here
in case I'm accused of ageism again. Okay, what is your pick of the week, John Cadell?
Well, it's basically a type of compilation album from a man whose voice never deteriorated with age because he's dead. It's the soundtrack to Last Christmas, and it is literally a George Michael compilation from his years in Wham and solo. And I think the reason I've picked it is I don't care if the movie's good or not. I'm probably not going to go and see it. But this 15-track album of George Michael singles is incredible. And
what have you picked out for us?
My favourite George Michael song, Praying for Time. Yeah, I mean, to go from wanting people's sex to that in 3 years, phenomenal. I mean, he turned his back on the whole image-conscious George Michael, the whole BSA jacket, aviator shades, and just came out with an album. And people laughed at him at the time, saying, look at this pop puppet trying to do serious. Well, got the last laugh. Okay. Well,
Lister says, I was at that Brian Wilson concert and some moron stood up and left before the end of the show.
Yeah, it's called respect.
Okay, you've a bit of Taylor Swift news for us, have you?
Yeah, that's right. So Taylor Swift has finally been cleared to perform her old songs at the AMAs after her label has backed down. So basically this goes back to something that I think we covered a few months ago on this slot. Her entire music catalogue, the label that owns it, Big Machine, who she signed with when she was 15, were bought out by a company called Ithaca Holdings for $300 million. She had come out fighting at the time and had said that she actually wanted to go back into studio and re-record all those old tracks, but that hasn't been done yet, and she wanted to perform them at the AMAs and was been told that she, even though she's getting the I think the award for Artist of the Decade, that she wouldn't be able to perform the likes of Shake It Off or some of her earlier hits because they didn't actually have the rights for that. It's not actually about her performing it live, it's for that to be streamed afterwards. That was the issue. So a number of people weighed in on it, including Senator Elizabeth Warren and Congresswoman Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, and the Big Machine have now backed down and have said that she's allowed to do it, but they're still not backing down as yet on her being allowed to use them in an upcoming Netflix documentary about her life.
Yeah, before you get your thought, John, let's hear a little bit of Taylor Swift. Her new song is called Beautiful Ghosts. It's from the soundtrack to Cats, the movie in which she stars, which will be
with
released
James
next
Corden.
Month.
Follow me home if you dare to, I wouldn't know where to lead you. Should I take chances when no one took chances on me? So I watch from the dark, wait for my life to start with no beauty in my memory.
Another new direction for Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and she's going ahead with the re-recording of her previous album. She's doing it next year, but she's not allowed to do it before next year. And Ithaca Holdings were saying that if she does perform them, it's akin to re-recording them. So that was what the big hoo-ha was about. But anyway, Scooter Braun, who's Justin Bieber's Svengali, he's behind the purchase of Big Machine.
And are you looking forward to Cats with James Corden?
No.
Didn't think you were.
No.
So well.
No.
Thank you very much, John Cadell. And Dee Reddy for being with us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.